Editor's note: there have been many ups and downs in the Cowichan Valley in 2024, good news and bad. Here's a selection of some of Cowichan's most memorable moments from the year behind us from January to June. Be sure to check out photos and snippets from July through December as well. January. The value of an average single-family home in the Cowichan Valley saw a decrease from last year in all areas, according to the latest figures provided by BC Assessment. New assessments were released on January 2. The town of Lake Cowichan saw the biggest decrease in the region at -9%, from an average of $642,000 down to $587,000, as of July 1, 2023. The first baby born in the Cowichan Valley in 2024 was delivered at home in a birthing pool in Kwamatsan, Kwamichan, after 7 hours of labor and 31 minutes of pushing. Romeo Silapetaliu Seymour, born to parents Ebony Elliott and Jerome Seymour Jr., arrived at 3:20 p.m. New Year's Day. The province has extended funding to allow the village project for transitional housing at 610 Trunk Road to continue until 2027. The province, through BC Housing, will provide approximately $1.5 million in annual operating funding for the village until the end of 2026. The village, which is owned by BC Housing and operated by the Lookout Housing and Health Society, has 34 modular sleeping cabins that are currently occupied by 30 unhoused people who would otherwise be homeless, and wraparound services are provided 24 hours a day. Another user group at the Cowichan Community Center is raising concerns about the center's heritage hall being used as an emergency weather center for unhoused people this winter. In a letter to the Cowichan Valley Regional District that is expected to be discussed by the board at a meeting this week, the executive of the Cowichan Valley Minor Hockey Association, which is a longtime user of the center's arena, said they are strongly opposed to CCC's use as an emergency weather shelter. Then in the paper of January 18, the Cowichan Valley Regional District will look into the lease of commercially available space to house an emergency weather center until March 31 after receiving numerous complaints about the shelter's location at the Cowichan Community Center. The CVRD board decided at its meeting on January 10 to look for another spot for the controversial center after two user groups, the Cowichan Valley Minor Hockey Association and the Cowichan Capitals Hockey Organization, complained about the use of the CCC's Heritage Hall for the shelter, citing mainly safety and security concerns. Dozens of protesters concerned about the long-planned Phase 3 of the Shawnigan Village Rail Trail project temporarily delayed work at the site on January 5, and another protest was planned. Russell Leone, a neighbor of the trail expansion who has long opposed it, said the intention of the protest was mainly about environmental education, protecting the watershed, and, to a lesser degree, private property owners' right to cross the trail corridor to access their properties. A new group that wants major changes to the way drug abuse and crime are being handled across the country held a protest rally at 5 p.m. on January 9 in the parking lot at North Cowichan's Municipal Hall. Travis Rankin, who began the Cowichan-based online group Canadian Citizens Against Crime and Public Drug Abuse just last week, said he's not usually political, but the current policies at all levels of government to deal with the abuse of street drugs and crime are clearly not working, and a new direction is needed. We need to end and retract government policies that allow the abuse of street drugs and crime, Rankin said. The group has about 1,500 members so far, he said. We're fed up and we want change. We're keeping our ears to the ground and are planning similar rallies at the offices of the Cowichan Valley Regional District and the City of Duncan. A pillar of compassion and community service in the Cowichan Valley is one of just 21 people in BC to receive a Medal of Good Citizenship for 2023 from the province for her extraordinary contributions to community life. Rhoda Taylor has dedicated more than 40 years to helping out organizations around the Cowichan Valley that help others, including Volunteer Cowichan, Cowichan Intercultural Society and Cowichan Mental Health's Warmland Shelter, and her impacts on those groups has significantly contributed to the betterment of the region. Crofton's Catalyst Mill has been fined $25,500 by the province for two instances in which more than 1 million liters of wastewater was discharged into the ocean in 2021. Work will finally begin early this spring on the first phase of a long-planned multi-use pathway along the Trans-Canada Highway near the Silver Bridge, at a cost of approximately $755,000. City of Duncan Council made the decision to move forward with the project at its meeting on January 15 after accepting a bid of $619,000 from Luco Construction Inc., the lowest of seven competing bids, to do the work, which is expected to be completed by the end of June. Electoral area directors in the Cowichan Valley Regional District denied a rezoning application from a recycling business for the second time, after a request for reconsideration. At a board meeting Wednesday, January 10, directors once again deliberated on the future of Radius Recycling, formerly Schnitzer Steel, which has a legal non-conforming recycling operation along the Trans-Canada Highway near Nanaimo Airport. February. Plans for a long-anticipated pedestrian overpass across the Trans-Canada Highway in Duncan between Beverly Street and James Street, York Road to a commercial area on the other side seem to be finally moving forward. The proposed overpass will allow people to safely cross the highway between the two intersections, which are 700 meters apart. In spite of concerns about the design expressed several months later, the project is going forward. The former Pioneer Square Mall in Mill Bay, which burnt to the ground in a fiery blaze on May 27, 2022, will soon be taking on the form of a phoenix, as the Lamona Group plans to resurrect the late retail center and bring it back to life bigger and better than ever. Out of the ashes a new commercial center will rise, said Lamona Group co-owner Mike Baer. The new commercial center is currently in the planning stages, a name has not been decided, but no matter the name, we hope to include historical recognition of the history of the name and uses of Pioneer Square in Mill Bay. We are currently working on options for the land as a brand new commercial center. The Cowichan Valley Basket Society feeds at least 1,000 people every month, and that number is increasing daily. We serve every population in the valley. We see families, seniors, and all ages, said CVBS manager Henry Wickerink. Recent statistics from BC's Centre for Disease Control show that 1 in 7 people experience food insecurity. A new primary care centre is being proposed for Government Street in Duncan. Island Health has a development permit application before the City of Duncan that would see a primary care center established at 930, 940 and 950 Government Street, adjacent to the Fishbowl Cafe and Canco Grocery Store. Paper Excellence Canada has announced the indefinite curtailment of paper operations at the Catalyst Crofton Mill. The decision affects about 75 employees who are members of Unifor Local 1132. A petition calling for the restoration of passenger and freight train services on Vancouver Island that garnered 7,610 signatures is expected to soon be presented to Parliament. The petition asks that the government create a $1 billion fund using the various BC and federal government funding mechanisms for public transit, and guarantee funding to the Island Corridor Foundation, which owns the deteriorating 220-kilometer E&N rail line that stretches from Victoria to Courtenay, if approved for implementation. The petition also asks the government to apply the funding to create a modern freight and passenger service on Vancouver Island, and to reconcile and resolve long-standing First Nations concerns with certain sections of the island corridor. Drivers might want to check their speed when traveling through downtown Duncan. The City of Duncan began installing new speed limit signs on its downtown roadways on February 5 that now require motorists to limit their speed to 30 km per hour in the city core, down from the former 50 km per hour speed limit on these routes. There are some exceptions, including sections of Government Street, Canada Avenue, Coronation Avenue, and Trunk Road, where the speed limit is now reduced to 40 km per hour. North Cowichan, Duncan RCMP are investigating after a suspicious fire in the early morning hours of Saturday, February 10, gutted several small businesses in Duncan. We are requesting the public avoid the area as the investigation is ongoing and surrounding roadways are cordoned off, said Staff Sergeant Ken Beard of the North Cowichan, Duncan RCMP Saturday morning. People were still restricted from getting close as the week wore on. The call about a structure fire in the 5000 block of York Street came in just before 1 a.m., and the North Cowichan Fire Department found the building, where multiple businesses were located, including the Good Neighbors Thrift Store, completely engulfed in flames. Farmers from the Cowichan Bay Area and other concerned citizens held a call to action protest in front of the Cowichan Valley Regional District's offices in Duncan on February 7 to raise concerns about the loss of farmland and other issues related to the Cowichan Estuary Restoration Project. Tractors, farm trucks, and other vehicles paraded along Ingram Street in front of the CVRD's offices, honking their horns and waving at pedestrians in an effort to have their voices heard about the Estuary Restoration Project, which will see approximate 100 acres of productive farmland flooded near Dinsdale Farm. They claim they weren't consulted about the initiative, considered to be the largest estuary restoration project on Vancouver Island. Askusalenuv William, Chip Seymour, who served four terms as Cowichan Tribes Chief from 2013 to 2022, has died. Lydia Whitsum, Cowichan Tribe's current chief, said Seymour, who was 73, was a beloved member of the Cowichan community. A new 4-to-6-story, 199-unit rental complex will be constructed on reserve land owned by Cowichan Tribes at 222 Cowichan Way in Duncan. The project, which will be developed by Cowichan Tribe's economic arm Coyutzun Development, is part of the province's new BC Builds program that looks to lower construction costs, speed up timelines, and deliver more homes that middle-income people who live and work in BC can afford. North Cowichan's tax increase for 2024 has been set at 5.18%, but some councillors are not happy with how council dealt with the budget building process for the year. Council gave the fourth and final reading to the budget at its meeting on February 7. Maple Bay's Diana Weld was more than delighted when her 19-year-old son Owen was found walking along a woods road near Lake Cowichan 4 days after he disappeared. Owen went missing on February 14 after he was last seen driving his SUV through Lake Cowichan soon after leaving his new job on his first day of work. The Malahat Nation is now less than 90 days away from having shovels in the ground on what will be Canada's first Indigenous-led gigafactory and the largest battery plant in the country. In partnership with Vancouver's Energy Plug Corp, the new battery factory will be completed in 2025 and will create more than 100 local jobs. BC Finance Minister Katrine Conroy announced that $14 million has been earmarked to help pay for the long-sought replacement of the Cowichan Lake Weir in the 2024 provincial budget, unveiled on February 22. Duncan City Council gave the first three readings to its budget for 2024 that could see a 7.54% tax increase on an average home and business. The BC government has approved a permit for the Bamberton Quarry expansion, but with a much smaller increase to its footprint and limitations on hours in which blasting is allowed. Meanwhile, across the inlet, North Saanich Council and Green Party MLA Adam Olson are still urging the province to stall the expansion until a full environmental assessment is done. An excavator was deployed to open an alternate road access to the DT. First Nation, west of Lake Cowichan, due to a sinkhole that is blocking the road to the community. Measuring 3 feet wide and 4 feet deep, the sinkhole has created instability across the entire road near Gus Bay, according to a press release from the First Nation. It has severed vital transportation routes, posing significant safety concerns and cutting off emergency access to the community. Malahat Nation will receive almost $150,000 from the province to install heat pumps in priority homes, conduct a band office energy assessment, and conduct a rooftop solar photovoltaic system screening to help build a greener community future. March. The anticipated tax increase for property owners in the Cowichan Valley Regional District is back down to about 16. 3% from the 19.33% that was being considered for 2024 after a tax revolt at the district office on February 28 that drew about 200 protesters. The old Cowichan District Secondary School on James Street will be sold. The Cowichan Valley School District's board said after its meeting on March 5 that, after carefully considering all the public feedback from the district's engagement session, public survey, letters and emails, and conversations with local stakeholders on the future of the school, trustees unanimously voted to close the aging school as of December 31, 2024, and enter into the formal disposal process for the facility. The City of Duncan has issued a development permit for a five-story, 54-unit assisted living project for those 55 and older at 257 Evans Street. BC Housing's new supportive housing development on White Road in Duncan is back on track again. Peter DeVertoy, City of Duncan SAU, told council at its meeting on March 4 that BC Housing has hired NAPIT Projects Inc. to finish the project. He said the 48-unit supportive housing project at 260 White Road is now expected to be completed in late 2024. Last November, it was announced that the construction company that had the contract to build the facility, Alberta-based Nomotic, had filed for bankruptcy and that BC Housing was exploring other options with its legal counsel on how to continue on with the project. The project is now expected to open early in 2025. A grade 12 student from Francis Kelsey Secondary has died following a crash on his way to school Thursday, February 29. Kieran Harper died as a result of a two-vehicle collision that occurred about 9:15 a.m. on the Trans-Canada Highway near Butterfield Road. A new six-story multifamily residential building with approximately 52 units and a public park next door is being proposed for 2999 Drinkwater Road. North Cowichan Council gave the first three readings in a unanimous vote to allow the project to proceed on the 8,000-square-meter property, located between Paddle and Ford Roads north of Cowichan Commons, at its meeting on March 6. Plans for a comprehensive development project that would have included up to 850 new homes and a commercial area near the new $1.44 billion Cowichan District Hospital were nixed in a 3-3 tie vote at North Cowichan's council table at its meeting on March 6. Mill Bay-based West Vista Development Company proposed to build the development on a 31-acre property located north of Heard Road, which is outside North Cowichan's urban containment boundary and is in a designated future growth area in the municipality's newly adopted official community plan. Controversy over the decision continues. Cindy Daniels has been elected the new chief of Cowichan Tribes following a March 7 vote. Daniels replaces outgoing chief Lydia Whitsum, who had been re-elected on February 25, 2022, for her second stint as chief. The southern area of Duncan near the Silver Bridge could look a lot different in the near future if a number of new residential, commercial developments, which would add almost 500 new housing units in the city, are given the green light to proceed. The projects are currently under review by the City of Duncan. The two-ferry service between Crofton and Vesuvius on Salt Spring Island is no longer a proposal, having received approval from BC Ferries Commissioner Eva Hage. But it will still be years before those two ferries will be running simultaneously. The Malahat Legion, known as the Little Legion with the Big Heart, is celebrating 90 years. "It's a great accomplishment," said Legion President Isabel Hammer. "With a lot of the hardships, and COVID, and everything that we've gone through throughout the years, we are now thriving as we celebrate 90 years, so I'm pretty thrilled about it." April. The transit shelters at Village Green Mall and on James Street, in front of Cowichan Secondary School, will be removed after the Cowichan Valley Regional District received complaints they are being used inappropriately. The district's committee of the whole made the decision at its meeting on March 27. The misuse involves loitering, open drug and alcohol use, and increasingly, unhoused individuals using the transit shelters as a place to stay. There is a misuse of shelters throughout the core area, but the worst is taking place at the two transit shelters located at CVRD's main transit exchange at Village Green Mall in Duncan, and at the shelter on James Street in front of Cowichan Secondary School, which is across from the Emergency Warming Center at Cowichan Community Center, said CVRD staff. Plans are in place to revitalize the Cowichan Valley community of Paldi, which was the bustling center of an active logging industry operation many years ago, with a new residential, commercial development. The overall plan for the Elk Ridge Community Project, which is envisioned to be a highly unique master-planned, semi-rural resort community, is to have 355 residences constructed on 200 acres over a 10-year period, and build out and pre-sales for phase one of the development, which includes 103 dwellings, has begun and is scheduled to be completed by June 2026. Like many of the other local governments in BC, the Cowichan Valley Regional District is starting to crack down on illegal short-term rentals at the urging of the province as the ongoing housing crisis continues unabated. Six of the nine electoral areas in the CVRD have decided to opt into the province's new Bill 35, which restricts short-term rentals to principal residences and either a secondary suite or accessory dwellings. At the board meeting on March 27, all the electoral areas other than Shawnigan Lake, Cowichan Bay and Ubu, Mead Creek decided to opt in on the legislation for the year with the expectation that where short-term rentals are allowed or may be allowed in future in these electoral areas, the owner will have to live on-site, and whole home short-term rentals will not be permitted. A Duncan company of 25 knights led Team Canada into the International Medieval Combat Federation World Championships held in Teotihuacan, Mexico from May 2 to 5. Both men and women from Cowichan Valley with Medieval Combat Canada suited up in shining armor to compete. Team Canada brought home 5 medals. Crofton's ferry terminal won't be moving, BC Ferries has decided. In a capital planning update on March 22, the Ferry Corporation stated that the Crofton Terminal project, as well as the Vesuvius Terminal on Salt Spring Island, will focus on the berth replacements in their original location to ensure the continued reliability of our infrastructure and to prepare the terminals for the introduction of 2 new island-class vessels in 2027. Cowichan Valley swing blues duo Blue Moon Marquee, consisting of vocalist and guitarist A.W. Cardinal and vocalist, bassist, and drummer Jasmine Collette, is over the moon with their first ever Juno win. Parents of students of Cushintal Mill Bay Nature School are protesting the sudden discontinuation of the special program that is the basis of their children's education. As recently as 2022, Cushintal Mill Bay Nature School was expanding, but an email on April 2 informed parents of children attending the school that the nature-based learning program will be reduced from its current kindergarten through grade 7 configuration to a K-2 satellite school for George Bonner Elementary. Construction of the new Duncan Manor will begin in early 2025 at the St. John's Anglican Church property on Jubilee Street after Duncan City Council voted unanimously to give the project a development permit at its meeting on April 15. The 6-story, 130-unit building will offer below-market independent housing for seniors and persons with disabilities. May. A large 570-unit housing development is planned for the corner of Beverly Street and York Road, near the hamlets at Duncan Complex. North Cowichan Council voted to give a development permit for the first phase, called Somino's Views Residencies, of the three-phase project at its meeting on April 17. The first phase of the project, which is being developed by Somino's View Holdings Inc., will see a 210-unit rental housing development in a 6-story building located on 2.5 acres of land at 2591 Beverly Street, which will include commercial units on the ground floor, along with 70 studio apartments, 110 one-bedroom units and 32 bedroom units on the upper 5 levels. Ongoing efforts to control and reduce the invasive plant parrot's feather in the Somino's watershed are paying off. Dr. David Preekschot, a senior environmental specialist in North Cowichan, said in a report that work by the Somino's Marsh Wildlife Society over the last 3 years has made significant progress towards the municipality's goal of reducing the presence of parrot's feather in the watershed. A four-story rental housing project with office space on the ground floor and up to 24 units on the top three stories is being proposed for 9800 Willow Street in Chimanas. The municipality of North Cowichan is working with the province to fast-track the development, which will be on the site where a fire hall once stood, as part of the BC Builds program that connects public land with home builders and non-profit operators. Ownership of the Cowichan River Valley is returning to two Kowatsan Nation communities thanks to a key reconciliation milestone between the Lyokesan First Nation, Cowichan tribes and the province celebrated on Saturday, May 11. The return of culturally significant land will give the Lyokesan Nation a land base linked to the services and infrastructure they've long lacked. Lyokesan's reserve lands are currently located on Valdez Island, an island with no ferry service, water supply, electricity, and other community necessities. The agreement will see a 312-hectare parcel of former Mosaic Forest Management land valued at approximately $8.55 million shared by the Lyokesan and Cowichan nations until they divide it into two. On Saturday, Lyokesan Chief Pahaliktun, Richard Thomas, Cowichan Chief Sulsul Zumat, Cindy Daniels, Premier David Eby, and Murray Rankin, the Minister of Indigenous Relations and Reconciliation, were joined by community members near Scutts Falls for a ceremony to sign the incremental treaty agreement. The town of Lake Cowichan's taxpayers will face a 4% tax increase in 2024, council decided at its meeting on April 23. The opening of the new Kowatsan Secondary School has been delayed. The longtime plan was for construction of the new approximately $85 million school to be completed in time for students at the current Cowichan Secondary School to begin classes there at the beginning of the next school year in September. But the Cowichan Valley School District has announced that the opening has been postponed until January 2025. The move into the North Cowichan, Duncan RCMP detachment's long-anticipated new $48 million state-of-the-art headquarters began on May 21. After many years under construction, the RCMP began moving all the equipment, exhibits, files and other material from the old one-story, 10,000-square-feet detachment to the new three-story, 50,000-square-feet one last month, and a grand opening of the facility was held on June 14. Set sail on the Saanich Inlet with Captain Hook aboard the MV Klitsa. You definitely won't see crocodiles, but you may be lucky enough to ogle orcas. Captain Aaron Hook has been with BC Ferries since 1991, and has been leading the sea training for the deck department at Swartz Bay for the last 20 years, but since December he has had the privilege of commanding of the MV Klitsa. The route between Mill Bay and Brentwood Bay, dubbed as the island's most beautiful shortcut, by BC Ferries, is celebrating its centennial anniversary this year. Plans for another much-needed rental housing project are moving forward in North Cowichan. The municipality's council voted unanimously at its meeting on May 15 to grant a development permit for a four-story building at 3096 Gibbons Road, near the Cowichan District Hospital, that will have 100 units of rental housing on the top three stories and commercial and office space on the ground floor. June. Ongoing work to develop a commemorative and educational site at the location of an ancient indigenous village at the foot of Mount Prevost is expected to be completed later this year. Archaeologist Eric McClay was on site at the 2.4-hectare, two-millennium-old Yeyumnets village. Vulnerable youth aged 15 to 18 who are in crisis, or at risk of harm or homelessness, in the Cowichan Valley will soon be able to access 24/7 services and supports at a new youth emergency shelter that will be established in the downtown core later this year. Grace Lohr, BC's Minister of Children and Family Development, made the announcement on June 10 at the Kawatsan Cultural Center in Duncan, surrounded by community partners who care and support youth in the Cowichan Valley and have been advocating for a youth shelter in the Ayr area for years. Cowichan Family Life Association, which was founded in 1970, is at least temporarily closing its doors at the end of July due to a substantial financial shortfall. The CFLA has been part of the fabric of the Cowichan Valley since its founding, providing low to no cost counseling services and other programs, including volunteer counselor training. Work on a deteriorating section of Genoa Bay Road, near Maple Bay, will soon begin, but the budget for the project has doubled from $1.5 million to $3 million.